Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt, slashing your taxes, and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, who has a vast collection of vintage DC and Marvel comic books, and ironically lives in Minnesota, where his favorite NBA team, the LA Lakers, originated, Dave Denniston.
Hello, my friends. This is Dave Denniston, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. And this year, in the previous year, in 2017, we spent a lot of time talking about real estate, apartments and single-family homes, and even raw land, which you know I am getting into. But maybe you listen to all this stuff, and it just doesn't capture your fancy. But on the other hand, you may want to get a higher return on your money than you can in the bank with money markets or CDs. But yet on the other hand, you don't want to risk your savings into stuff that can go up and down so much, and you want to do something with your money and you don't know what. And maybe in the past you've invested in something really speculative and you've lost a lot of your money. That's the bad news. But what if there was something else, something you could invest your money in for high returns without shelling out a huge percentage of the interest that you earn for fees and this and that and tenants and toilets and termites and negotiating deals? Well, I am excited for our next guest because she is going to show us how. Over the last 10 years, she has been known as the Tax Lien Lady, and she has helped thousands of investors around the world buy profitable tax liens and tax deeds with her step-by-step system. And best of all, she has some easy-to-implement training programs that I'm sure she will tell us about. So fasten your seatbelts, my friends, because you are going to learn how to use a strategy for investing that has been certainly kept secret. I hadn't heard about it too much, and there's not a lot of information out there. So please help me welcome Joanne Musa, the Tax Lien Lady. Welcome, Joanne.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's an honor to be here. I'm honored that you'd have me on your podcast, and that was a really nice introduction you gave me. So,
well, you helped me write it, I have to confess. So you made it easy on me. So, Joanne, I think one of the things that we were talking before we started recording that was fascinating, you and I have some books in common that we read, Bob Allen, Robert Allen's Multiple Streams of Income book, which inspired me to reach out to you, and you were referred to me by Mark Podolsky, the Land Geek, back from our Season 3 episodes. So I'd love to hear more about why tax liens? What was your story? How did you get started in this niche?
Well, you know, I've always wanted to be a real estate investor. And back in 2001, we sold our condo. And we found ourselves in a position where we couldn't buy a home with the money that we had. We just didn't have the credit, the income at the time. And I thought, well, if I can't put this money in another house, I'm going to buy an investment property or somehow invest this money. And I tried different types of real estate investing, but, you know, back then I didn't know how to use other people's money for real estate. There's a lot of things I know now that I didn't know back then. And it also was a time where property values were going up and up and up. This is between 2001 and 2005. And there were a lot of people trying to get into, you know, pre-foreclosures and foreclosures. And I even went to foreclosure sales and was prepared to spend $300,000 or to bid up that high on a home, you know, hoping I could get a mortgage later. But I couldn't even touch a house in the areas that I was bidding. And this is for a distressed foreclosed property, you know. So I had read something you mentioned. A book that you had read. There were two books that I read, and one was Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and the other one was Robert Allen's Multiple Streams of Income, which is the book that you mentioned. And there was something in each one of those books about something I had never heard of before called tax lien investing. And there was very little in each of those books and very general information. so what I did, because there was only one other book in print at the time that was about tax lien investing, and that was the 16% Solution. And at that time, that book was over 10 years old. It has since been republished, but it didn't have any specific information about the state that I was investing in. So I just started going to tax sales, and I met another investor who was also going to these tax sales. We were both trying to learn how to do this, and he had a lot more money than I did to invest. He was a millionaire in New Jersey, and he asked me if I would work for him, and we even developed a software program for investing in New Jersey. I helped him develop a large portfolio, and while I was doing that, I developed my own small portfolio of tax liens. Now, in order to do that, I had to hire people to go out and bid at these sales and teach them how to do due diligence on the properties that were in these sales, how to bid at the sales. And then I realized that people all over the country and really all over the world wanted to know this information. They wanted to know how to do it. And I think a lot of other people had read those books and got just a little bit of information and wanted more. And so I started my website, taxleanlady.com, and I started interviewing experts from around the country in different aspects of investing in tax liens and tax deeds around the country. And that's how I got started.
What a great journey. I mean, you kind of followed a passion, and learning by helping someone else. What a great way to really get into it. Were you going in auctions in your neck of the woods? I think you're on the East Coast, right? So you're more staying in that neck of the woods, or where did you end up working auctions and going to auctions and hiring people to go to auctions? What did that look like?
Well, at the time, I lived in New Jersey, and auctions are different in New Jersey than they are in most other states, because in all of New England and in New Jersey, they're not done on the county level. It's the municipalities that do the tax lien. So in New Jersey, there are 550 municipalities, and they can have their tax sale. They each have a tax sale only once a year, but they can have it any time they want, not like, for instance, in Arizona, there's only once a year that they have their tax sales, and it's done by the county. There's not that many counties in Arizona, and they all have their tax sale in February, so they're all kind of at the same time of the year. Well, as I mentioned before, there's 550 municipalities in New Jersey. They can have their tax sale whenever they want. They pick their own time when they want to have it, but because there's so many of them, any given day in New Jersey, there could be a few tax sales all on the same day at the same time. And at the time that I started this, none of them were online in New Jersey. Now there are quite a few of them in New Jersey that are online, but at this time they were all live, and they would all be like at the same time. So that's why I had to hire a few other people to help me. We only went into five counties. I hired five people and, you know, taught them how to do this. And every state is different. Every state has a different way of doing it. So after doing this in New Jersey and teaching other people how to do it in New Jersey, then I did go to a couple of other states. I actually moved to Pennsylvania. And in 2005, I moved to Pennsylvania and have gone to some of the deed sales here in PA. And in the last few years, I've done some of the online sales, the online lien sales in Arizona and Florida. And I've also invested in some secondary liens in Illinois. So I don't have experience in every state, but I've helped people in other states. I've helped people buy deeds in Michigan. I helped a Canadian client of mine buy the deeds in Michigan, and I've helped people buy things in New York and in a lot of different states, Missouri, Alabama. So I haven't personally invested in all these states, but I've helped people invest in a lot of states. And there are some states, quite frankly, that are not worth investing in.
Well, we'll have to talk about that. I'm curious to talk about more about when they're not good to invest. But I think maybe we should just take a step back for a moment and say, okay, we're mentioning this word tax lien investments and going to auctions, and I have to imagine that there's some of us thinking out there, well, what the heck are they talking about? What is this stuff? So let me try and paraphrase what I understand about it, and I'm learning about this, so please correct me if I end up getting this wrong. So what happens is someone owns a house or a piece of land or a commercial property, and they owe property taxes on that property. And sometimes some people don't pay because they can't afford it, or they forget, or who knows what. And then after a given period of time, which might be 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, depending upon the area, these back taxes pile up, which is how I've been finding pieces of land to buy in Colorado and Nevada and Arizona. And so, because there's a delinquent list of people that are behind in their taxes, and then at some point, the county says, you owe so much in taxes, this amount of time has passed, we are now going to put this lien on that we have on your property up for sale. So, and then someone can bid on that to buy, I guess, that lien or the penalties or interest. I guess that's the part I'm a little confused on. And then you might hold it for 1 or 2 or 3 years until it's determined by the county or state or whoever that now it can be foreclosed on. And if someone doesn't pay that off, if someone pays off those back taxes, then you get paid, I guess. So that's my high understanding of it. Can you help correct me or inform us on how that may differ from what actually happens out there?
Actually, Dave, you have a pretty good understanding of what a real estate tax lien is and why it's a good investment. But let me just clarify for people that are listening. What happens is that the county or the municipality, they need their property tax money for things like to build roads, pay policemen, firemen, school teachers. They rely on that money. So if they don't get it, if somebody doesn't pay their taxes, what they will do is they will sell those taxes to an investor. And those were the auctions that I was talking about earlier. What happens is the investor, the reason why investors would want to go to one of these auctions and bid on one of these liens is because they would get the interest rate or the penalties that the county would charge for somebody. Like, you know, if you don't pay your taxes, why do you pay your taxes on time? Well, because if you don't, you get penalized. You have to pay fees, you have to pay fines, or you have to pay usually it's interest or penalties that they add to it if you don't pay it on time. Well, so the investor would get this, and then the other reason why an investor would want to buy a lien on a property is because not only do they get that interest or penalties when the delinquent taxpayer or property owner decides to pay the lien, but if they don't decide to pay that lien, then the lien holder can then foreclose on the property. And they're in first position to get paid. So if there is a mortgage or other lien on that property, the lien holder is the one who's in first position to get paid. So that's what makes it a good investment. But now here's the thing. Now, you mentioned three different states, and I want to talk about those states because not every state sells liens. Some states don't mess around, and they're not going to sell a lien on your property. They're not going to sell your taxes to an investor. They are going to sell your property right out from under you, okay? Mm. They're known as deed states. And if you're looking for raw land like you are, Dave, and you want to buy property, then it's those deed states that you want to go to, because in those auctions you are actually buying the property. Now, you mentioned three states. You mentioned Arizona, Colorado, and Nevada. Those are the three mm-hmm. states you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And each of those three states is just a little bit different, but Colorado and Arizona are both tax lien states. They will sell the tax lien in a tax lien sale. Nevada is a tax deed state, so they will actually sell the property at a tax deed sale. Now, Arizona and Colorado are both lien states, but they both have different types of tax sales. Now, both of those states have some tax sales that are online. About half the counties in Arizona have an online sale. And I'm not sure how many Colorado counties have online sales, but there are a few Colorado counties that have online tax sales as well. But they're done differently in each state. Now, in Arizona, the interest rate, the statutory interest rate that the county charges if you're late on your taxes in Arizona is 16%. Now, that rate is bid down at the tax sale. This makes it a win-win-win for everybody because the delinquent taxpayer gets a reduced rate that they have to pay if the interest rate is bid down at the sale. Instead of paying 16% in fees or interest rate, they pay what it's bid down to, which can typically be anywhere between 5 and 10%, sometimes a little more, but these online sales are pretty competitive, and it gets bid down lower. So that helps the homeowner out or the delinquent taxpayer. The county gets their money. They don't have to wait to get their tax money. And the investor gets investment that where they can make more money than they can make in a CD or in a money market account, and it is guaranteed by the real estate that backs the lien. So it's a real asset backing their investment, and they get more money than they could if they just put that money in a CD or bank account. So, it's a win-win-win for everybody. Now, remember I said that Arizona and Colorado are different because in Arizona, when you go to one of these auctions, you bid down the interest rate. Well, in Colorado, when you go to an auction in Colorado, they don't bid down the interest rate. What they do in Colorado is you pay money to get the lien, what they call premium. So you would bid an amount to get that lien. Let's say the lien on a property is, let's say the back taxes are $2,000. So the lien is $2,000, and you bid $100 or $200 to get that lien. Now, in Colorado, you don't get your premium back when the lien is redeemed, so that effectively lowers the rate that you're going to get or your return on your investment when the lien is redeemed. So that's how different it, and every state is different, but that's just an illustration to show you how different it can be in different states.
How fascinating. So this is just really interesting. I love these examples. Let me dig on that a little bit further, Joanne. So let's say I'm just going to make up numbers. These aren't actual scenarios, everybody. I'm just trying to help us all understand the concept. So let's say that the property taxes owed on a single-family residence or something was $5,000. And the is that $5,000, I guess, there's the raw amount. Let's say that normally that was, $2,000 a year, right? So they're behind by 2 years, so a total of $4,000, and there was, these are not exact numbers because I have no idea what I'm talking about, really, but let's say that the penalties and interest and everything was $1,000. So $5,000 total, I guess, is what's owed. So if you're investing in Arizona, that you're bidding on that $1,000, not the total of $5,000. You're bidding on the $1,000 of penalty and interest. Did I understand?
No,
that right?
You're. What would happen is you'd be bidding on the whole amount, but you'd be bidding down the interest rate that you're going to make. So, in other words, they're already in the rears. They've already had penalties added in. So whatever is due now, you're bidding on that, and you're going to bid on the interest rate that you're going to get on that amount. So let's just take let's just say it's $1,000, and you bid the interest rate down to 10%.
Okay.
That means that you're going to get 10% interest on that $1,000 that you pay. You're going to pay $1,000 to get that lien. You're going to pay that lien off. and mm-hmm. then that will accrue at an annualized rate of 10%. When the property owner decides to pay that off, you're going to get that $1,000 back plus your 10% interest.
Annually. Okay. So if it's 10%, that's 10% compounding or simple most of the time interest?
It
probably depends on the state.
It's normally applied monthly, and it's simple interest. It's not compounding. Now, in New Jersey, they apply it daily, but it's simple interest. It's not compounded.
So for everybody, that means simple interest means that you're not compounding interest on top of interest. So when you have a 10% interest rate, the $1,000 becomes $1,100 that then you charge another 10% on is compounding interest. Simple interest means it's just $100 every single year. So with the $1,000 investment, you're charging 10% until they pay it off. In this particular case, because you start at 16% in Arizona, just using Arizona as an example. So you bid, when you bid, are you bidding like dollar amounts, or are you actually bidding the interest rate? Help us understand.
Well, see, that's what's different in different states. In Arizona, you're actually bidding the interest rate. And it's the person who bids the lowest interest rate who receives the lien.
So someone might say, I bid 10.5%, and another person says, I bid 10.4%, and then I guess they go,
well,
1, 2, 3, final sale kind of thing.
You can only bid in Arizona, and again, this is another thing that's different in every state, is what increments can you bid? Well, in Arizona, it has to be by 1% increments.
Ah, interesting. So the increments can differ from place to place in terms of how you bid.
Yeah. Now, in Florida, it can be 0.25% increments.
Interesting.
Well, let's take a moment for a quick commercial break. Well, my friends, if you are sitting here confused by all these tax changes, wondering how the heck does this impact me? I mentioned in January, the beginning of this year, that I am going to make available to you my calculator showing all the different scenarios laid out on how this whole thing works. So for this month and the next one, if you text all one word, less taxes, LESSTAXES, all one word, less taxes, to 44222, you can grab that calculator right now. Go ahead and text less taxes, all one word, LESSTAXES, to 44222. And if you're interested in wanting to get the tax reduction prescription, the newest version of it, definitely text there as well, because that will give you early access to the next version of the tax reduction prescription. Again, text less taxes, all one word, LESSTAXES, to 44222. And now, back to the show.
With this, just using this example of you bid a 10% interest rate, it started at 16, you're bidding against a few other people, you got it at 10 in the state of Arizona in Apache County or Yuma County or something on your $1,000 investment. So you paid the county $1,000, and now if this person doesn't pay the property taxes, year one, now your $1,000 investment is hypothetically worth $1,100. Year two, if they still haven't paid it yet, now you're at $1,200. And let's say it gets to year three, and now it's $1,300 owed. What happens at that point where they haven't paid it now for several years on what you had bid? What happens now at this point?
Well, then you can start foreclosure on the property. But remember that each year that went by, there's also taxes due. So you can also pay the subsequent taxes. And in some counties, in Arizona, they will actually send you the bill. In some counties, you have to request it. They won't send it to you. You'll have to request it. But they will let you pay the subsequent taxes. And if you do pay the subsequent taxes, that will prevent the lien from going into next year's sale, next year's tax sale, because if you don't pay the subsequent taxes, it's going to be sold in the next year's tax sale. And somebody else will have a lien on that property.
So your $1,000 might end up becoming, your investment in it might become $1,500 and then $2,000 and so on.
Right, exactly. And you receive the interest. Now in Arizona, and every state is different, but in Arizona you receive the interest that you bid at the sale on your subsequent tax payments. So if you bid 10% at the sale, then you'd continue to get 10% on all those subsequent tax payments you made as well.
Okay, on those as well. So
yeah.
If you paid a total of $1,500 using this example, whereas $500 a year property taxes, just making numbers up here. So now it's 10% on the $1,500, and then if it was another year went by, another $500 in property taxes they hadn't, that you paid on their behalf, basically, because they didn't pay it, so now it's 10% on $2,000. So as you put in more money, that the amount of interest. So let's say that now you foreclose on the property. What happens at that point? You own a house or a raw land or something at that point?
Yes, correct. You would own the property that the lien was on. Okay,
so
now every state is different in how you do that. Some states you go through a judicial foreclosure, which is what you have to do in Arizona. So you would actually typically you'd get an attorney to do it for you, and you would foreclose and then own the property. Now, if it's raw land, you might not want to get an attorney, but you just have to be careful that you do everything according to the state statute so that you do get the property.
And obviously, different attorneys cost different amounts. How much has it have, from your experience, has it cost? Or have you ever had to hire one, you know, in order to help out that may all your tax liens just got paid off? You know, what's been your personal experience?
Personal experience, I haven't had to hire an attorney in Arizona, and I've invested in land in Arizona, and typically also the interest rate that you could get on a single-family house in Arizona is bid down pretty low. It's competitive, and it's bid down to 5% or below 5%. Hmm. Raw land you could get at higher interest rates. A couple years ago, I got a few properties at 7%, and they were all raw land. They all redeemed, so I hadn't had to hire an attorney. And one of my students also had a property in Arizona that didn't redeem, and she did it without an attorney, although I wouldn't recommend that. But the land that she had was not worth a lot of money, so she didn't want to hire an attorney, and she did it yourself. You can do it yourself. You just really have to pay attention to, as I said, the state statutes. In New Jersey, I've hired an attorney a couple of times, and as a matter of fact, I'm in the middle of going through a foreclosure on a property now in New Jersey. And, it takes a while. Because in New Jersey, too, it's a judicial foreclosure that has to be done. You really do need to, unless you're familiar with that, you really do need to use an attorney. Not only any, you don't want to use any attorney. You want to use an attorney that specializes in doing these type of foreclosures, tax lien foreclosures. It hasn't gone all the way through yet, but I would say it's going to cost you at least a couple $1,000s by the time. I haven't gone through to final judgment with this one yet, and I've started foreclosure a couple of times before, but normally when I start foreclosure on a property, it redeems. Because now, you know how people are. They procrastinate. I procrastinate. and I'm not going to pay something off until somebody tells me, well, you got to pay this off or we're going to take your property.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I'll pay it off.
Well, I have to imagine, especially for primary residences or houses, people, they're worth a lot more.
Well, and here's what happens. The first thing you do when you foreclose, or the first thing that your attorney does, is they do a title search, and they have to find out everybody that has an interest in the property, ownership mm-hmm. interest in the property, or has a lien on the property. So if there's any mortgages on the property, a mortgage is going to pay it off. So, typically that's what happens. So if you're looking to get property, And actually, tax liens, buying tax liens is not a way to get property for pennies on the dollar. Really, if you're looking to get property, tax deeds are the way to go. But a way to increase that is to buy liens on properties that don't have any mortgages on them. Because now you only have to worry about the owner of the property redeeming the lien and not anybody else that has a lien on that property or has the interest in that property. Because the first thing you need to do when you foreclose is everybody has to be notified that you have a lien on that property, you're going to foreclose their right of redemption. They have a right to redeem that lien until you foreclose that right. And that's what you're doing when you foreclose on a tax lien.
So I guess just mulling this over, looking at the numbers, I guess, from my perspective, you know, what's the risk with this, right? I suppose the risk is the money that you put in there potentially over, depending on the county and the procedures in the state, that over a few years, if the price that the county charges for property taxes is insanely high, then I suppose you could lose out. And you have costs of an attorney, which we talked about for one of your students, that could take away from your return significantly too. So those are the two scenarios that I see where people could lose money in this, at least this particular case we're looking at in Arizona. So just out of full disclosure, you know, what can you think of other instances, Joanna, in terms of how people can lose money and not do well with this kind of
investment? Yeah, well, how could you lose money in real estate in general? Like if you bought a property, and let's say you bought a property to flip or you bought a property rent, how could you lose money in that? Well, if the real estate market goes down and now it's not worth what you paid for. That could happen with a tax lien, but if the real estate market goes down, hopefully you didn't pay nearly what it was worth anyway because you bought it for back taxes. Mm-hmm. So you just have to be careful that you don't let it go on too many years before you actually foreclose on a property. But there's a built-in thing that helps you with that, and that's because there is an expiration period, and you have to do something before the lien expires. In Arizona, it expires in 10 years. So it will expire worthless in 10 years if you don't, you know, foreclose after that 3 years. You still have another few years to do something or think about it. But the idea is you want to foreclose right away as soon as you have the opportunity to. And that will, in most cases, it's going to force redemption anyway. But if it doesn't, you won't have too much money into it, and you won't have to put too much more money into it, because remember, all those years after it redeems, there are taxes that are due. So if you let it go on too many years, you'll have to pay a lot of taxes, right? So whatever could go wrong with real estate could go wrong. Like there could be a fire. There, you know, could be a natural disaster. But these are risks that you don't really think about because they don't happen that often, and you probably can't do anything about it anyway, right? Mm. If there's a natural disaster in a couple of years from the time that you buy your lien, you know, what are you going to do about it now? And you can't get insurance on that property because it's not your property. You only have a lien on that property. So are there risks involved? Yes, there are risks, but the main risk is not doing your due diligence in the first place and not buying a lien on an asset that's worth money. All right. So the first thing that you have to do is do your due diligence to make sure that whether it's vacant land or a house or a commercial property, doesn't really matter, as long as it's worth a lot more than the taxes that you are paying.
Got it. Well, that makes sense. Well, I think what interests me in particular about this is I really see it working as a yin and yang to kind of the land business in many ways, because what fascinates me as I get in this county in southwestern Colorado, where as of this moment I've bought my first three properties, that I'm getting really familiar with all different parts of the county, right? I could look at a parcel number now, and I could tell you about how much it's worth just by looking at the parcel number.
That's great.
So
that's great.
Because you just look at the first three numbers of it, and you know what area it's in this particular county anyhow. So I could imagine, you know, if I went to this county and I got involved in the tax lien auction, because in Colorado they do tax liens, as we talked about, that I could just look at the property list and know approximately how much it's worth, you know, to sell for. Assuming that I could sell it. I haven't actually sold a property yet, but I bought three now. So
great.
So I guess knowing that now at this point I'm establishing that kind of knowledge of a county. Do you think, you know, I guess the other major thing to consider is that when you make these investments, that your money is tied up, right? You're not
correct.
You can't just like go to a bank and redeem a CD with a small penalty, right? I mean, your money, once you've invested $500 or $1,000 or $200 in some of these things, that your money's tied up for the foreseeable future of a year or two or three, mm-hmm. until either you foreclose on it or it's redeemed. So I guess that's the other major risk we have to think about.
Two things about what you said. First of all, it's great. That would be a great area for you to invest in tax liens because you know the area. You know what the property is worth. Now, the other thing is, I believe Colorado has a 3-year redemption period. So, yeah, your money would be tied up for 3 years. Now, you could get paid before that if the lien redeems sooner, and if it goes to 3 years, then you can get to foreclose on the property. And I want to bring up something else, too, about Colorado. Colorado actually has two different types of tax sales. And every county gets to decide what is a large lien and what amount is a small lien, and whether they do this or not. But what a lot of the counties in Arizona do are the smaller liens, they don't auction like they do the larger liens. The larger liens, they auction, and you have to pay premium to get them, as we talked about earlier. But the smaller liens, what they will do is they will have like a round-robin procedure where you go to the tax sale, you register for the tax sale, you get a bidder number. Then they will offer the liens to the, you know, first number and then the second number as the lien, like they'll read off the first lien and offer it to bidder number one. Then they'll read off the second lien and offer it to bidder number two. And bidder number two gets to decide whether they want that lien or not. If they don't want it, it goes to the next bidder. And they will go around the room like that, okay? So, you know, if you're attending these tax sales in Colorado and you go to and these are only done live. Even the counties that have online sales, they will only do these small liens that are done with this round-robin procedure in a live auction. Hmm. So that's something that you could take advantage of because, you know, most likely the liens on land are going to be smaller liens anyway. Now, it just means your money's going to be tied up, could be tied up for 3 years if you're actually going to get the property. And you know, you have to wait a while to get it. And they do have a different procedure in Colorado, too. I don't believe it's a judicial procedure like it is in Arizona to actually get the property. You basically the county does the stuff for you, and you pay the county and apply for the deed, and you just get the deed after that period's over. So.
Oh, so you don't have to use an attorney in that case.
No, I don't believe you need an attorney in Colorado. Actually, I have a student who has a few liens in Colorado who just got a couple of deeds, and he's going through the deed process now on the rest of his liens.
Fascinating. So many questions to ask about that, but we're running out of time today. Questions maybe we can talk about in the future, you know, hiring somebody to be there for you in terms of, do I want to fly all the way out to southwestern Colorado? That's a big cost, right, to go all the way out there. So we'll have to talk about that maybe in the future, as well as maybe some other specific examples of states. And who knows, maybe this will be a financial experiment that we add to our quarterly updates of stuff stuff that I do. But right now, I'm still trying to get my hands around this land stuff that our good friend the Land Geek has been teaching me. So with that, Joanne, what I would love to have you do is tell us a little bit more about where people can find you and learn from you in the future.
Sure, be happy to. I have a website, and I have a book on Amazon if you want to find out more about tax lien investing and how to get involved, what steps to follow. You could get my book, and if you want to find out more about my book, you could do that at taxlieninvestingsecrets.com. Tax Lien Investing Secrets is the name of the book, and then there's a long subtitle that I'm not even going to tell you about now. Just go to taxlienginvestingsecrets.com and you can find out more about the book. My website is at taxlienlady.com, and I also have a blog at taxlieninvestingtips.com. There's a lot of tips about tax lien investing there. And I do have a virtual training course starting January 15th that's coming up. If you'd like to find out more about that, you can go to taxlieninvestingsecrets.com/advanced-training.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. And Joanne, you know, one of the questions that I love to ask our guests is that many listeners to the podcast that are physicians, they have spent years and years and years in medical training, and along the way they forgot to teach them business 101. And so I would love to know from you, when it comes to investments like tax liens and just running a business as you do, what do you think is the best business lesson that you can pass on to physicians?
Oh, hire somebody. Hire somebody that's business-minded, or in my case, get a business coach. That would be my best experience. Because you know what, I am not a so-called business person or financial person, and I didn't even know anything about real estate when I got involved in this. And what I really am is an educator. I love teaching people about this, and that when it comes to actually the business and financial stuff, I think either hiring a coach or hiring somebody to help you with that part of it is the way to go.
Perfect. Great advice. Everyone needs a coach to a degree, right? Michael Jordan had a coach, certainly. Some of the best baseball players in the world have coaches. Football players have coaches. You know, in order to get to the next level, we all need to hire coaches from time to time. So if this is something you are interested in, make sure to look up Joanne on her site. And Joanne, any other closing thoughts you want to leave with us today?
That's it. Just invest in what you know. And if there's something you want to invest in, then, you know, fight. Get educated about it.
Bam. There you go, my friends. Well, thank you so much for listening today. Thank you to Joanne for being with us here. And if you are a physician or if you're someone else servicing physicians and want to tell your story, would love to host you on the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Make sure to contact me at dave@drfreedompodcast.com or on my website, www.drfreedompodcast.com. For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denniston. Thank you so much for joining us, my friends. And remember, make sure to slash your debt, slash your taxes, and live a liberated lifestyle.
Well, there was the show. Hope you loved it. And of course, we want to make sure to remember that right now is the time. If you are confused about this tax stuff, you want the latest copy of the tax reduction prescription and that calculator I was talking about in January, there's no better time to grab that than right now. Text less taxes, LESSTAXES, to 44222. Again, that's all one word, less taxes, LESSTAXES. Thank you again so much for listening. Blessings to you. Have a good one.